Hello, everybody. Well, what a treat to be back for tonight, and I'll tell you just right out of the gate, my heart is stirred for this because I believe that God has a plan. How many of you believe that before you even showed up tonight, God already had something in mind for you, right? So turn to your neighbor right now and say, God has something for you tonight. Go ahead and tell them that God has something for you tonight. Turn to the person on the other side and say, you look like you need some Jesus tonight. Come on, tell them, you just got that look like you just need some help from the Holy Ghost tonight. You just got that look in your eyes. Well, I'll tell you this right out of the gate that when I say my heart is stirred, I mean that sincerely because really my goal and my aim is not necessarily to preach a pointless message because that just sounds like a waste. But what I am saying is that for those of you who are note takers and you love a good outline, it may be a little challenging for you tonight because it's not going to be that much homiletically structured, if you will, or outline driven, because my heart is stirred for us not to simply, when it comes to prayer, talk about it, but to be about it. And that really my assignment for tonight is to share some thoughts from God's word, from God's heart, simply to provoke your faith, hopefully to where your own heart would be stirred, and then that we would move into a time of just seeking the Lord together. So worship team, don't get too comfortable. Don't go too far. You'll be right back here in just a few minutes. When we're together in places like this one tonight, in atmospheres such as this, there's so much history. There's so much. I mean, you've heard about it tonight in terms of years of life change. By a show of hands, how many of you through kids camp or teen camp or previous family camps, but you've met with God here in this place? Would you just wave at me? As you keep your hand up, would you just look around the room at this testimony? Can we give God thanks and praise for the way He has used this place? And so we all understand, theologically speaking, that God can meet with you at home. He can meet with you at your workplace. He can meet with you at your school. He can meet with you while you're driving the car. I don't know if you've ever experienced that before, but just driving down the road and maybe praying or worshiping, and the Holy Spirit just comes and floods the car. I've had that before. You just sense Jesus. And so we all know that to be true, and yet the distinction I'm making tonight is there's something about coming to a place that's been set apart to be a meeting place with God, like this one. Weeks like this, family camp, consecrated and set apart for the point and the purpose of us gathering together to encounter His presence. And so I'm not trying to sensationalize it, not trying to hype up a meeting space as if God is limited to it, but I'm telling you my heart is stirred because I'm believing that we're about to meet with the one, the only one, who in just one moment in His presence, He can change everything. And this afternoon in my cabin, I was spending some time praying down through the prayer requests for our home church and just church members who had posted on our app things that they were believing God for. And it's just overwhelming to me. Just reading as people took time to jump on the app and post a prayer request, and you could hear the desperation in so many of them in their prayers. People who were seeking God for freedom from addictions. People who were asking for miracles in their marriages. People who were struggling with unforgiveness because of things that had been done to them. Some people praying for protection from abusive situations, lots of requests for financial miracles. One that just struck me, just praying that God would help them because they already had their lights turned off because they had to make the decision between paying the light bill or having food. So many battling depression and anxiety. And as I read down through it, I mean, if you just got stuck in the prayer request, you yourself would walk away feeling depressed and overwhelmed. I mean, if I got stuck there, but all those things were doing in that moment, they were just guiding my conversation with the omnipotent God. The one that I was praying to, the one that I was talking to and asking for help on their behalf, I just know that I know that I know that there's nothing too difficult for Him. Can you say amen to that? I thought about our time together tonight, and I thought if we did, in some shape, form, or fashion, give this room an opportunity just to offer up a prayer request, it probably wouldn't take very long for this whole room to feel just the weight and the burden and the heaviness of what so many are carrying. Because there are people in this room, again, as I kind of referenced in a different way this morning, coming to family camp doesn't just erase all of the burdens and all of the problems and all of the cares that came with you when you showed up at family camp. And so I know without a doubt that there are some of you, as you're worshiping tonight, you're worshiping through your pain. You're worshiping God and praising God, but it's not because the migraine has stopped. You're just praising Him anyway. There were some of you that were worshiping Him and singing, "My whole life for your glory, my whole world for you." I mean, just you were worshiping God, but it's not because your son or your daughter has quit running from God yet. You just chose to praise Him in the middle of, while you still continue to carry the burden. I mean, there are people in this room tonight, you love God genuinely. You love Him wholeheartedly. It's not a matter of do you believe in God. It's not a matter of do you love Him. But the truth is you're battling with addiction. For some, it's some substance abuse. For some, it's prescription, medication. Just the pain so intense and the habit of taking it, and then you just felt yourself losing your grip, but you love God. As a matter of fact, you've probably through tears begged Him to help you get out. And there are some, the addiction that you're feeling is more sexual in nature, or lust, or pornography. It's not that you don't believe in heaven, you really do. It's not that you don't read the Bible. You try to be disciplined there, but for whatever reason, you feel trapped. You just are begging God for a way out, for a hope, trying to believe that you're not truly, actually, forever stuck. I mean, if we took prayer request, I mean, the lawsuits, the child custody stuff, the fight going on with it, a family, the no talking between you and your mom or your dad or whatever it is. Listen, it's real. And yet, just as I mentioned, as I was working my way down through that app and the prayer requests, those needs can be overwhelming, but I just knew the God that I was talking to. And I don't want to in any way just give you another message, another sermon with some promise that, and at the end of the night, everything will be fixed, cleared up, taken care of, all the pain gone, all of the problems absolved. No, I'm not saying, I don't know what God may do tonight. He may not choose to completely, totally, 100% set you free from that physical or that emotional pain. He may not do that. But my question is, what if He did? My question is, what if it's in His heart
for you tonight to step into his presence. And you might say, Scotty, but I've been praying for weeks. I've been praying for months. I've been praying for years for this one family member to be saved or this one neighbor to come to church. They won't even come to church. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I've not seen an answer. What if tonight is the night that you get a breakthrough? What I would just simply suggest to you is there's only one way to find out. What if we just step into his presence and we say, God, we're going to trust you to do your part. We're simply going to obey you and do ours. Who's up to that tonight? Just to say, God, what do you want to do? No matter where you are in your journey with Jesus, there's room for you to grow in the depth of your prayer life. No matter how much you have been involved in intercessory prayer or going deep and tarrying in his presence or looking to him, I'm saying to whatever degree you have found him, there's more of him to be experienced. Can I get a good amen right there? I just want to show you quickly a couple of quick things, and I sincerely mean we're not going to go super long on this portion because I want us to practice his presence. But I want to take you to the book of Acts just for an introductory scripture. Really, I just want to show you a physical picture of a spiritual reality, and then I'll take you to our primary text in just a moment. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. Most of you perhaps would be familiar with this. It's when a group of believers had gathered together to pray. You might just kind of pretend like they had gone to family camp. They were at Lake Geneva. They gathered together to pray and seek the Lord and to celebrate how God had been helping and certainly to lift him up in prayer, to seek his face. And it says this of their prayer time, their encounter when they were there together. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says, after they prayed, somebody say after they prayed. Come on, shout, after they prayed. After they prayed, this is a physical picture of a spiritual reality. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Like literally, like the place where they were meeting together, where they had gathered together, and they were seeking God together. After they prayed, the place was literally shaken. And I don't suggest that that's the true indicator of if and when God has always heard you and answered. If so, man, he's missed a lot of my prayers over the years. But I do believe it's a physical picture of a spiritual reality, and that is when God's people come together to seek God's face, I'm telling you, there are things that happen in the spiritual realm that will eventually, ultimately be felt in the physical world. That's how it works. One night we had gathered together. We do this on Saturday nights as a family, so even while we're here right now, our kids back home are having our family prayer night, and they're praying for this service tonight. And we were together praying one night, and I read this verse. We were just there together, and I had the Bible open, and I said, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. As soon as I said that word, Oklahoma City had an earthquake, and the house started shaking. My kids looked up, and I'm like, y'all better start listening to your daddy. You better clean your room. I was as shocked as they were.
But the timing was not lost on me. I'm not saying he sent an earthquake to Oklahoma just for me or just for that moment, but I can tell you this, my kids, my wife, and I will never forget it. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting, it was shaken, and they were all filled. Somebody say all of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly, which was a big deal because they needed the boldness of God in the culture and climate in which they were living and carrying out the call of God.
And I would suggest that you and I need to be filled to full to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, with the power to be a witness in the world that you and I are living in today. We need the help of God. We need the power of God. We need the presence of God on our lives, because where you work, where you go to school, the neighborhood where you live, the family that you're trying to love and care for, it can't be won in human means or efforts. It's a spiritual battle. And we read stories like this in the book of Acts, and honestly, I think for the most part, we can't relate, but I think it's primarily because we can't relate to the early church's prayer. Prayer is indeed powerful. It does unlock the supernatural. Prayer brings heaven into your situation on earth. And when you read your Bible, there's only one conclusion that you can draw from Scripture when it comes to prayer, and it's simply this: there are some things that happen when we pray that don't when we don't. And yet we're better at talking about it than about being about it. True, false, we can get it. Prayer's powerful. True, false, you're carrying some stuff to where you need a miracle. True. True, false, you've asked God. Most of us say, true, I have. But have we, over the course of time, lost our faith, diminished, grown weary? Or have we find through our pursuit of God that our spiritual depth and maturity is growing stronger, richer, deeper? As we look to Him and trust in Him, knowing that there are things that happen when we pray that don't happen when we don't, we can't grow weary in well-doing, because we will reap a harvest if and when we faint not. I like the way William Temple said it. Maybe you've heard this quote. He said, "When I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't pray, they don't." I'll acknowledge before I read this other scripture. Some of the things that God speaks to you at family camp, and it could be through a service, it could be just through you taking a walk, it could be through your personal prayer time. Some of the things that God will show you, that He will speak to you, will require super practical steps of obedience. Like, we're talking about the supernatural God, the God of all comfort, the God of all peace, and you need peace in your situation. And for some of you, He spoke to your heart and He said, your schedule's too full. You're like, God, I need a miracle. And He's like, well, just start taking some of that off the calendar, practically speaking. Some of you are like, God, I need a miracle. Sometimes we're praying for God to send a check in the mail, and sometimes He sends you a Dave Ramsey podcast. Hello. Sometimes God heals you of asthma. Sometimes He gives you an inhaler. I'm just saying, like, you can't limit how God may move, how He may show up. Like, there are some very practical things He may speak to your heart to do. But here's the point for tonight, and it's this. I would suggest to you that things are more spiritual than you realize. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Just fix your eyes on these verses and engage, if you would, please, just in this truth, in God's holy word, His anointed word. Let it minister to your heart. Think on this for a minute. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. For some of us, that's a news alert. For some of us, that's eye-opening, because you thought it was your boss. For some of us, this is revelation right here, because you thought it was your wife. You're like, Lord, if she would just, oh, God, all of heaven, touch her, Lord, help her, Lord. Rescue me, God. You're praying like it's your wife. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. Oh, God, these kids are crazy, Lord. Lord, I know that you can do miracles, and we need one, Lord. Help them, Lord. Help us to, Lord. It's a spiritual battle. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. It's not against the government. It's not against
different political parties. It's not against wars with different countries. What I'm suggesting to you is things are more spiritual than you realize. Remember when you were a little kid and maybe in grade school, or for some of you, maybe junior high or high school. But anyway, you walk up behind somebody and thump them on the back of the head. And, you know, when they turn around, you remember that game? Remember that? You thump, and the kid like, oh, I get mad. You're like, yeah, man, he did that to you. And so silly. So immature. We're like, oh my God, so elementary. But what's crazy to me is how many people the enemy does that and you fall for it. He comes and attacks your family, points at your wife. And you're like, I can't believe you. Let me tell you something else. He comes in, wham, points at your husband. You're like, I knew that was you, just like your mama. You always been like your mama. You always just get caught up in earthly, physical, flesh and blood arguments, fighting. Instead of stepping back and going, wait a minute, there is a devil. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And this may just be spiritual in nature. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. How often are you showing up for the fight, the real fight? Not the wrong fights. Not the wrong fights. Not the ones that distract us, not the ones that pull us away from the real one. I'm saying, how committed are we to showing up to the right fights? I'll just speak to the guys for just a second. And ladies, you won't, some of y'all are going to think that I'm making this up. This is going to sound so silly to you. You're like, whatever, but this is a true story. Guys just like make up scenarios, imagination. Guys just make up scenarios where we come through like the hero. Now, some of you ladies, you're like, oh, that's cute. No, this is serious business. Like, this is for real. It really happens. You talk to guys and they'll just tell you they have all kinds of plans, contingency plans of attack, like at home. If somebody comes through that window, here's what I would do. Guys, most guys, a lot of guys, maybe not every guy, but a lot of guys, they even do it during church. You're like, why aren't they worshiping? Because they consider this a form of worship, okay? So just don't judge. But they just picture if somebody came in right now, this is what I would do. If somebody came in that door right there, I'd slip up behind them, I'd tackle them, I'd take them down, I would do this. And guys just think about stuff like that. And that's a true story. And we always win. We've never had a scenario where we did not win. Every single time we come out on top.
Because I'm just telling you, like in my family, if anybody tried to attack my wife or my children, like, you're like, what if they're stronger than you? What if they got a gun? Listen, I may go see Jesus, but I'm not going to sit back and do nothing. Like, I'm going to fight for my family. I'm going to protect my wife. I'm going to protect my children. I'm going to do everything that I can. And we think of stories like this. Guys would be sitting in a restaurant and some guy looks over and sees his wife, be like, man, I wish you would. I wish you would. Like, you just try something. Just something rises up. Somebody broke into your house. They came through the door. You don't, like, I don't need a gun. Give me a baseball bat. You don't have a bat. I don't need a baseball bat. Give me a pillow. Give me a Q-tip. I will take them down. It's crazy scenarios. And somehow still win in the end. It's just amazing how it works. But the real question is, why do we, back to the picture this morning, leave the door wide open for the enemy to come in and attack? Instead of having a heart that says, not on my watch, when it comes to my church, when it comes to my unsaved family members, when it comes to my children, when it comes to my marriage, when it comes to our church, when it comes to our young people, when it comes to our kids' ministry, where is it for something just to rise up? And for the ladies, that mama bear that just says, nobody's going to outpray me and bombard heaven more than me.
for a move of God. So, in other words, you don't just show up to a service like tonight. Why? Because you're growing in your walk with the Lord. You're growing in your spiritual maturity. You understand that when you come to this house tonight, when you come into this place, you understand that stuff is happening in the spirit realm that you can't even see. You already know that because you read your Bible and you understand that God has a plan for this service tonight, but so does the devil. And so he's trying to impose his will, and you already understand before you even come to this place that you're not coming for another little tickling of the ears, like another fun little service. Well, wasn't that cute? Wasn't that? No, you understand that there's a fight for something. There's a battle for something, that God has a breakthrough for you, that God has a victory for you. But between where you are and what God has for you, there's a spiritual fight. You can't read your Bible and come to any other conclusion. So when you show up on a Sunday morning, you show up prayed up. When your kids are going to youth, you're not just screaming as one, be back by 9. Don't spend too much money when you go out to eat. You might have to say those things, but what's gripping your mind, what's covering, filling your heart and your mind is, God, move tonight. Speak to my son, speak to my daughter tonight. Praying for your youth pastors. Are you tracking with me, church? It's a spiritual battle. And there are some of you carrying some stuff the enemy has talked you out of fighting for it. You've just gotten tired. Or you've believed the lie. He's attacking, and so you're mad at somebody else or fighting something else. I want to read the scripture again. If you can pull Ephesians back up one more time, I just want to read it together one more time. Worship team, you can actually come and get in place if you would, please. Look with me again at Ephesians 6:12. For we, and that's you and me, are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Is that true of you? Are there things going on in your world right now that you know, unless God shows up and helps, you don't see any other solution? Can I tell you, rather than allowing that to discourage you or weigh you down, listen to the truth of God's word to be reminded that God is bigger. God is stronger. God is more powerful. God is more victorious. Come on, don't you know there is nothing too difficult for our God? There is nothing too difficult for our God. I don't know what God may do over the next few minutes here in this place as we invite heaven to invade our hearts and we just say, God, we're going to do your word. I don't know. I know this is not going to be anything that the worship team or I or Pastor Mark try to manufacture, because we don't believe that God is hard of hearing. We don't believe that volume equals anointing. We don't believe that God's going louder, louder. Oh, you were almost loud enough. I couldn't quite do it. Sometimes it's through tears and a whimper. Sometimes you're flat on your face before God. And sometimes even, I don't know if you've been here before, but you just feel almost buried, almost smothered. Maybe even, I know I've had this for me, to where the only thing I could even say was, Jesus. You ever been there before? All you can say is, Jesus, help. Jesus. Jesus. there may be some of you that as you enter in the presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes on you, you begin to intercede in a language that you don't even know as the Holy Spirit prompts you and leads you and guides you and leads intercession through you. And it's a moment where you just lean into that and forgetting about everything else and everyone else. You fight through it. There may be some of you that as we have this prayer time around the altar, God's just going to whisper something to your heart and it's going to catch your attention and he's going to show you someone and he's going to give you a word for them. We believe this not because it's our denomination. We believe it because it's in the Word of God. The gifts of the Spirit are still in operation today. And they're meant for the building up of the body. And tonight, your step of obedience may lead to the breakthrough in someone's life that they've been praying for and believing for. And tonight, God's going to do that. What if he doesn't? He's a big God. He can defend his reputation. So I'll trust. And tomorrow morning session, I'm really excited about because we're going to pick up where this one leaves off. But my question for tonight is, what if he does? So what if we step into that? I asked for a show of hands at the beginning of people who had an encounter with God. And for some of you, this may be a little bit of a throwback for you. You may have some time around the altar tonight, and God's going to take you back to a word that he spoke to your heart several years ago, or even maybe many years ago. And so for some of you, it's going to be a rekindling of that passion for your first love. For some of you, it may be some type of breakthrough. Some type of deliverance, some type of release. You may have that in your heart. For some of you, I'm believing for this tonight. I'm believing for physical healings in this place. Did you know that he still heals today? He still heals today. One word from him, everything changes. Everything. There could be things that are happening miles away, states away, but as we're touching heaven tonight here in this place, there's going to be a breakthrough that takes place in California about something that you're praying for. Something's going to happen in Florida to some unassuming, they had no idea, they can't explain it, and then when you check in on them, they're going to say, how did you know? Because we dare to take God at his word and know that when we take steps of obedience, trust God, he will do what only he can do.